Hey, welcome to the Smooth Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Mike J. And this week, we got a really good show coming up this week. So we're going to discuss the upcoming, boxing news. So Canelo and Danny Jacobs. We're going to discuss Dillian White versus Joseph Parker. We're going to discuss the Saturday fights, the return of Tyson Fury, Leo Santa Cruz, Abner Morris, Jermell Charlo versus Austin Trout, and, Bud Crawford versus Jeff Horn. And we're going to talk a little bit about the throwback fight would be Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis, since it's the, 16-year anniversary since that fight happened. So I definitely got a funny story about what I was doing when I was watching that fight. So let's jump to it. So this week, Canelo, Oscar De La Hoya said that he was going to quit negotiating with a Triple G's promoter. I start talking to Eddie Hearn about Canelo fighting Danny Jacobs. Now, before we get to this, number one, Canelo and Triple G are going to fight. There's too much money out there for them not to fight each other. You're going to think Canelo and Triple G both missed out on big paydays in May when the fight got canceled through the PED scandal. So there's no way that Oscar's going to put Canelo in a fight against a super big middleweight who's really talented, Danny Jacobs, for, I'm sure, half the money, instead of fighting this, giving give up a little negotiation to get the Triple G to fight in September. I just don't see it. And then Triple G, he got stripped of the IBF belt for Derevchenko because he didn't fight him when everything with Canelo fell off. But those two are going to fight. You've heard it here on the Smooth Jab Podcast. You're not going to give up $10-20 million not to fight each other because you're fighting over some percentage points. So it's called negotiation. Oscar, he knows how to negotiate in the press. He's going to say these things, but when it all comes down to it, they will fight. And they might fight in September. They might push it back, but them two will fight. There's no way you're going to give up that amount of money and not fight each other because over some percentage points, especially when, the fight could have fought in May, but Canelo's the one that got popped for PED. So they'll figure it out. The next fight coming up is it was a surprise because at first I thought it was going to be Dillian White and Luis Ortiz. And I started, I put a little poll up. We had like 500 people who answered the poll. But it's going to be actually Dillian White versus Joseph Parker. Now, Dillian White looked really good in his last fight against Lucas Brown. Now, Lucas Brown, I'm not going to lie, he didn't come into the ring in the best shape, and he couldn't move, and he kept getting hit by the left hook all night long. But, Dillian White had a knockout of the year candidate type of shot that he hit him with the one hitter quitter, so he sat him down on that. But Joseph Parker, he just never has impressed me. I saw him fight Anthony Joshua, and I give you a mulligan. Okay, you're fighting a champ. He's much bigger than you, much stronger. And you're just fighting to survive. But I think he fought Andy Ruiz on HBO, and I watched him before. And I think it was when it was for the title, for the WBO title. And I just wasn't impressed. Maybe I need to watch him in some of his older fights, but I've seen him twice. I guess maybe against the best competition he's faced, and I haven't seen any inkling of some talent there. Some guys you can see flashes of talent, but I just haven't seen anything. So maybe this fight against Dillian White, maybe it's more suited for him. You get an aggressive type of coming forward fighter. And a guy like Dillian White, you're going to have to fight to keep him off of. If not, he's going to stop Parker. So maybe it's one of those things of styles make fights, and a guy like Parker is going to be able to pot shot him and counter punch him all night. But Dillian White has definitely impressed me. Ever since he got knocked out versus Anthony Joshua, one of our boxing friends on the Twitter, as they say, replayed that knockout. My man, even when Dillian White got hit with that uppercut, it's like his soul left his body, like on the Crossroad, the Bone Thugs and Harmony Crossroad video. Because, my man, look, he lost everything. Like, he even could have soiled himself. But, he came back and, picked himself off the ground. He's, has a chance now to, win in one of these eliminator fights to get a shot at the belt, depending on what goes on with Wilder and Anthony Joshua. So shout out to Dillian White, and we'll see that fight. I think it's July 28th. So I know some people are complaining that it's going to be on pay-per-view in England, so I don't know what we're going to be able to see it in the States or not, but there's no way in hell that I would pay for it on pay-per-view. So we'll see what's going on with that. All right, so let's talk about Saturday's fight. So Tyson Fury comes back. This is the first time Tyson Fury has fought since 2015. I know the last time he was in the ring, he upset Klitschko to become the lineal champ And after that, he kind of dealt with some substance abuse issues and mental health issues, allegedly. So, you know, his weight ballooned up. I think he's almost 400 pounds, but now he's down to 271. He's fighting a guy. I think he's a former cruiserweight. They showed him matched up, and the guy came to Tyson Fury's chest. So it'll be interesting how that fight goes. I think Tyson Fury, he hasn't fought in 3 years, so he's definitely going to be rusty. So I'm thinking maybe that, because he's not like Tyson Fury. He's a strong guy, but he's not like a monster puncher like Deontay Wilder or Anthony Joshua or anything like that. So I think it'll be, you know, a few rounds, maybe about 6 rounds. It's going to take a while for Tyson Fury to get his wind and get his rhythm. So I'm thinking mid-rounds he should be able to stop the guy. Because I know they were not – Frank Warren was not going to put him in with a guy who was an actual – any type of threat. Because, you know, Tyson Fury, he's very popular in the UK. So I was watching a video on Twitter, and they were walking down the street, and all these streams of people just following Tyson Fury singing that song they were singing with Ricky Hatton before he got knocked out against Mayweather. So – yeah, that'll be a good fight. That'll be on Showtime probably in the next, probably once we get this dropped and cut and edited and everything. So you better listen to this before the fight start. Also be Terry Flanagan versus Maurice Hooker. They fight for the, fight at 140. I think WBO at 140. So there should be a couple good fights today on Showtime streaming. So you can check that out. Ask for free. So let's talk about the other fights on Saturday night. So the first fight we're going to talk about is Jermell Charlo. He fights Austin Trout. Now, his brother Jamal, his twin, fought Trout, you know, and at 154. It was a close fight. But I think Jermell has more tools in the toolkit as far as he's be able to box. And now with Derrick James, he's hitting harder. And Derrick James was just teaching him, you know, improving his fundamentals and make sure he punches through the target. So, and you could tell, because Jermell's been knocking guys out. He knocked out Erickson Lubin, and he knocked out his other two guys, you know, previously. So he's improving, and I don't think Trout can be able to handle it. I'm predicting he's going to probably knock Trout out. Yeah, I'll say probably about the 8th or 9th round. I mean, Trout's had a great career. He fought Canelo. He beat Cotto. He fought Jared Hurd really well before he got stopped. But I think all those wars that he's been in, you know, he's 32, 33 now, I think it's definitely going to just catch up with him. So I know I think Barry Hunter's training him now, but I think Jermell's going to stop him. I think Jermell's, him and Hurd on him, hopefully they will be on a runaway streak to end up fighting, you know, unifying at 154. So I'm definitely excited about that. So I think Hurd says he wants to fight Kell Brook, you know, to get a right-hander so they can go ahead and fight Jermell maybe next year or so, or maybe later in the year, who knows. But that'd be an interesting fight. So I'm definitely predicting that Jermell is gonna stop him probably mid to late in the fight. I think he just has too many tools in the toolbox for Trout right now. Next fight, Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Morris. So this is a rematch from 2015. And, I mean, I thought personally that Santa Cruz, it was a good fight, but it was not a fight that I had to see again. But it'd definitely be an interesting fight, them fighting in Los Angeles and both having Mexican heritage. So it's definitely going to be a spirited fight. So I will be watching it tonight. I think Santa Cruz is going to win the fight. I mean, between his high punch volume and the fact that he has the reach on Abner Maris, I think that it'll be a close fight, and maybe even closer than the first time, because Abner Maris, he'll have Robert Garcia in his corner, and he does really good at making those in-fight adjustments. But I think Leo Santa Cruz just has a little bit too much for him, so we'll see who wins that. But I predict Leo Santa Cruz, and hopefully Leo Santa Cruz and both Gary Russell said that they want to fight each other, so I think this approves who's the man at featherweight. I know Gary Russell, he's been looking really good since he lost to Lomachenko. So that'll be a good fight going forward. So if we could see Russell and Santa Cruz fight. I know they fought in the amateurs and Russell won. So to be able to see, you know, both fight as professionals, it'll be interesting to see. All right. So the last fight that I want to discuss will be Terrence Crawford moving up from 140, where he's a unified champion fighting Jeff Horn. And for those who don't know who Jeff Horn is, for our new boxing fans, he beat Manny Pacquiao in a disputed decision. I think it was one of the first fights on ESPN. So Terrence Crawford, he was a champion 135, 140. Now he's moving up to 147 to fight Jeff Horn. Now Jeff Horn's a big, strong welterweight. But other than that, he has a pretty decent right hand. But in the fight against Pacquiao, man, he knocked him down, and he probably should have turned. He had a chance to stop him, but you know, give props to Jeff Horn. He was able to turn the tide and win a disputed fight. But I think Terrence Bud Crawford has too many skills for him. When you look into how Bud he'll start off as a righty and then switch back to left, and you know he has that really good right hook. And he also, when he'll switch up, and he has a really solid left hand. So, and he has a nasty streaking ring, because when Bud gets you hurt, he's trying to take you out. So, which is, you know, interesting, because, you know, when Mayweather was on top, plus when he was at welterweight, when he had a chance to take a guy out, he was kind of cruise to the points decision. But these new younger welterweights, if they get a chance, like, you know, to get a chance to hurt you, sorry, guy like a Errol Spence or a Crawford, those guys are, well, they're going to try to go in there and close the show. So I'm definitely interested to see that fight. I think Horn's going to come out there and try to use his physical strength against Crawford, try to smother him, try to, you know, muck it up. But I think once Crawford establishes distance, he also hasn't fought in 10 months, so he might be a little rusty. Establishes distance, especially when he switches to southpaw and starts, you know, letting that right hook go and that left hand right behind it. I think it's, you know, before it's all said and done, he's going to stop Horn. Probably, I think, late in the fight. I think he's going to cut him up, and, you know, the class is going to come to the top. Because, you know, 7 pounds is a lot, but Crawford isn't like, I don't think he's going to be a small welterweight. He's 5'8". And he's at his physical peak. He's 30, so, and he has that nasty streak in the ring. And it's like Horn is not like superbly skilled. He's just strong. So I'm definitely thinking Bud is going to stop him. I think he's going to cut him up late. So I'm definitely predicting Crawford to be the champion at 147 with the WBO, which will set up, hopefully, you know, in a couple fights, maybe next year, him unifying against Errol Spence, because that's the fight I think all boxing fans wants to see. So definitely, you know, excited for that. But so let's transition. So let's talk about Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson. It was June 8th, 2002. So during this time, I was 20 years old. I was in college, and I was watching the fight over my cousin's house. And when we used to go watch pay-per-views, everybody, you know, put in some money into the cup, and then you put in the rounds, and whoever got the correct round, the fight ended, then you would get the purse. So I think the fight ended in the 8th round, but I had round 9, and I know Mike got knocked out with 45 seconds left. Man, I was so damn pissed off, because he was just tattooing Mike. I'm like, all right, Mike, you got 40 more seconds, man. This make it there and just go ahead and get stopped in the 9th, because he was ready to go. And lo and behold, Lennox Lewis hit him with that big right hand, and he just fell out. And Mike, you know, he might try to get up, but he could tell Mike didn't want anymore, man. But I also think about that fight. Number one, it was in Memphis, and then the whole thing happened when Lennox and Mike got into the press conference. Another underrated funny moment, y'all, was when Emmanuel Stewart, he started getting mad at Lennox, talking about, take this guy out. You going to let this motherfucker hit you with something crazy. So that was funny to hear, you know, Lennox, to hear the Emmanuel Stewart get hyped like that, because he was smacking the hell out of Lennox's chest. So it's definitely, man, a fight that, you know, boxing fans thought was going to be closer, but I knew that Lennox was going to beat him, man. Lennox was too big and too skilled to, you know, to let Mike catch him with something. The fact that Lennox was 6'5 and throw that left jab on, he kept that left jab on Mike the whole time, and it came down the pipe with the right hand, which I really thought he was going to use the uppercut more to get him out of there, since Mike was trying to crouch and he needed a little bit of room, you know, when they were in close to throw that big left hook. But I mean, it was a good atmosphere, man. I'm just mad I missed out on my $200, because I was in college during that time. So 2002, $200, that would have set me up real straight. But, you know, that's what we see. So I'm going to ask someone to put a poll out today. So who do you guys think will win between prime Lennox Lewis and prime Mike Tyson? So I'll say prime Mike Tyson, probably after the Michael Spinks fight. You know, that's when I think he was probably at his absolute best against Lennox Lewis. Probably after he knocked out Haseem Rahman, I think that might have been his prime then, because he was just dominant through that stretch of knocking out all those guys. So we'll put a little poll up in there after we get the episode kicked in. So definitely, man, appreciate all the love and support everybody's been showing. Remember to rate, review, and share the show. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Pocket FM, Overcast, and Anchor FM. Check out the podcast. And hopefully Anchor is getting ready to get everything on Google Play and other places soon. So definitely, there's plenty of places you can listen to the podcast and review and share. And we out of here. We'll talk to y'all probably next week. So peace.